Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and welcome Daryl Johnston to the show. Daryl is, of course, a lifetime Dallas Cowboy, three-time Super Bowl champ, analyst for the NFL on Fox, and the GM for the San Antonio Commanders in the Alliance of American Football. The Commanders host the Orlando Apollos this Sunday at 3 in the Alamo Dome. Go to AAF.com for tickets or check the action out on CBS Sports Network. Daryl, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Daryl, you're a football lifer who has been around the sport in a variety of ways, of course, as a player, also as a guy who broadcasts the games now. Who or what convinced you to try applying your expertise to general managing?
Well, I think everybody that's played the game at some point has that desire to see if they could create a roster that would have success in football. So we've seen it with Ozzie Newsome up in Baltimore, with John Elway out in Denver, John Lynch now out in San Francisco at the NFL level. And this was just one of those things that I got a little bit of interest in, you know, having spent a little bit of time talking to some of the guys in the front office side. And, you know, you start to get that urge and that desire to see if what you've learned, what you've been taught, what you've experienced throughout your career, if you were to apply that to the construction of a roster, how successful would you be? So, I've talked to a lot of guys once the opportunity came, and you start to hear how many other guys are like, oh, that's awesome. You know, I'd love to see if my vision, what I think a football team should be, is actually the right way to construct it.
Has there been a most surprising thing about the job since you took over back in the summer?
It's a lot more than just football. You know, as the general manager, you've got a lot of other responsibilities, especially with the Alliance being a startup. You know, there's some things as we start to build a really, really strong foundation with the league and with our franchises that you want to make sure you have done right the first time. So there has been a lot of things outside of the football arena, especially in regards to evaluation of players and things like that, that consume parts of your day. The hardest part has been, you know, delivering the bad news. We've cut down from 85 to 75. Then we've cut down from 75 to 52. And then what's been really hard here the last week, and we're going to get into that again, getting ready for Orlando, is taking 52 guys on your active roster and reducing that down to 44. You know, that's the hard part, to tell a guy in a league that's preaching the development of players and the opportunity to get on the field and get seen on film that they're going to be inactive that week. So that's something that that all of the GMs and the head coaches and trainers and strength coaches, you know, everybody on the football side is trying to push this. So, you know, if we've got 52 guys healthy, let's dress all 52. You know, if the opponent can't match the 52, let's get down to the number where both teams have equity in that roster. But we want to get these guys out on the field.
Daryl, did you have any doubts or reservations about taking this job? Obviously, with the Alliance being a startup, as you mentioned, was there any fear in your mind that maybe this wasn't the right decision on your part?
Not at all. Not at all. Not when I saw the people involved. To see Charlie Ebersol as the founder, the visionary of what the league was, knowing that he had just, you know, completed a documentary, you know, on spring football, and it was going to know better than anybody, you know, what were the good ideas? What were some of the pitfalls as other leagues have tried to develop this concept over the last 25 years, 30 years? You know, where did they go wrong, and what are some of the things that they did well that we can incorporate into what we're doing? So I knew that he had a vision that was going to be built on a strong foundation. And then the fact that he went out and got Bill Polian as his co-founder on the football side, and then the people that came in as the general managers and the head coaches. And then you started to see the staff being created for each of the franchises, and the names are very recognizable. So for me, with anything, it's all about the people. So there was no hesitancy for me at all. Once you see who's involved with the Alliance, it really anything that you're talking about at that point just becomes excitement. You know, you were excited for the opportunity. You were excited to be a part of this moving forward.
Talking to lifetime Dallas Cowboy and three-time Super Bowl champion Daryl Johnston, who of course is an analyst for the NFL on Fox, and now the GM for the San Antonio Commanders in the Alliance of American Football. The Commanders host the Orlando Apollos this Sunday at 3 in the Alamo Dome. Go to AAF.com for tickets or check the action out on CBS Sports Network as well. Now, Daryl, you talked about some former players who have taken up the GM capacity. Were there any guys that you specifically picked the brains of to try and really learn about the job before you actually took it yourself?
I did. John Dorsey's been a great friend, a great mentor while he was in Kansas City. I've always had a really good relationship with Andy Reid, and when Andy got the job in Kansas City, I would go out to Kansas City during training camp and just kind of immerse myself in football for 2 or 3 days in that training camp environment, just to kind of get back into the swing of things before the NFL season started. And I struck up a relationship with John Dorsey. And then as I started to think about heading down this path, you know, John was always open to having me come up there. And 1 year after the draft, he kind of took me through the whole process they've gone through and how he sets everything up. And then he gave me a list of people, you know, that I should reach out to, you know, anything from directors of personnel to general managers around the league, to some of the scouts that he thought were extremely talented. So kind of that whole hierarchy of what a front office would be, just to see what the day-to-day tasks of each of those positions would be. Then I reached out to Ron Wolf, who was the architect of the great Packer teams back in the 90s, went up and visited with Bill Parcells up in Saratoga, to pick his brain a little bit. So you kind of put together some notes and get all the good advice that they provide, and then you try to blend that with some of the things that you believe in, and then try to create the way that you want to do it. I don't want to do it exactly how somebody else has done it. I want to make sure, you know, whether I succeed or I fail, that it was on my merit. It was things that I believed in, things that I thought would work. You know, just the hard part has been, you know, incorporating all these great ideas and recommendations from those guys and putting it into mine. And then Will McClay is probably, you know, the big reason I'm here up in Dallas. He invited me out to OTAs this past June and spent that whole time with the Cowboys going through the day-to-day operations there. And that's really when the opportunity for the Alliance came. So for me, it was really timing and circumstance, you know, being out there at the Star during the course of the OTAs and having, you know, somebody from the Alliance come in, and Will McClay said, hey, you know, Darryl's been looking at this for about 3 years now. And, you know, he might be an option for you if you decide to go to San Antonio. And then Steven and Jerry Jones were very important, very helpful to me with reaching out to Bill Polian and kind of giving me the stamp of approval that this was something I was serious about and had invested a little bit of time in getting ready for this opportunity.
Have you learned anything from Jerry Jones in terms of his role as the GM of the Cowboys?
Well, I mean, that's a unique dynamic that works in Dallas. You know, Will is the guy there that does a lot of the heavy lifting day to day, along with Alex Loomis and the staff. But yeah, Jerry's going to have final. He's going to have final say on the decisions that happen there, along with Steven. So it's a different dynamic, but the legwork, evaluation, all the gathering of information, you know, comes out of Will and Alex and everything like that. And Jerry and Steven sit in on that and are brought up to speed, but they're kind of that final say in what the decisions are going to be made. And that was the interesting thing to listen to Will talk, you know, about, you know, how important it was in the delivery of the message. And you do truly believe that this is the best thing for the franchise. And how do you sell that? How are you able to get that point across? So, you know, for me, it was real helpful, because I'm going to be walking into meetings and I'm going to have ideas. How do I sell that idea for the benefit of the entire franchise? How do I make everybody in that room buy into what my vision is? So it's actually some really, really good advice, you know, from Will and Dallas and the interesting dynamic that they have working there.
Kind of a two-part question here, Darryl. You know, number one, you sounded very confident. You mentioned it in a previous answer, confident about the league being successful. But are you at all surprised how successful this league was in week one? I mean, you guys had 30,000-plus down at the Alamo Dome, and then the TV ratings were out of this world, beating the NBA primetime Saturday night game. Did that surprise you at all? And also, how big could this league grow if you guys had that much success in week one?
Well, I think it just shows you the strength of the game of football. You know, one of the things that Charlie recognized and why he wanted to do this was, you know, the drop-off in participation in fantasy sports right after Super Bowl. There's kind of this big lull. And as a sports fan, you know, I'll watch everything on television, you know, but still that was there for me. You know, once the Super Bowl ends, I'm hanging on until, you know, March Madness starts and then the Masters is coming. So, you know, you're waiting for those big sporting events, and what the Alliance has done is now giving you, you know, it gives you 12 weeks of very competitive football, you know, in that place. And then when we wrap up, you know, the NFL is going to be getting ready to start up, you know, the meat and potatoes of their off season with OTAs and getting ready for training camp. So it's creating a year round calendar for the game of professional football. So I was not really surprised. I knew San Antonio would embrace us. I really did. I mean, that's been evident from day one down here. You know, the mayor and everything that he did to get the franchise here in San Antonio. Mary Nuremberg has been unbelievable. We've had small events during the course of this whole process down here in San Antonio that have you know, brought out 750 fans, you know, 1,100 fans to small events, and nobody around the Alliance, the other franchise cities, was generating that kind of interest. So we had a really good feel going into week one that we were going to put up a big number. And then we've created great partners. Vic Gregovitz, our team president, has done a great job. You know, HEB has been an outstanding partner. They bought 5,000 tickets for military families, so the men and women of our military, for all the service they provide for us, a way to pay them back. And, you know, that's a relationship that we want to continue down here. So we're projecting to come close to that number again this weekend. Now, we've got some better weather. You know, last week, you know, it was kind of cold and rainy, you know, at kickoff time. So there's not a lot of tailgating going on. There's not a lot of pregame activity. So this week it's going to be in the 70s as we get towards kickoff or having the ball placed down. We're expecting, you know, a number similar to what we had last week, with the preparation that we could have a big walk-up number because the weather's nice. So, you know, I have no doubt, and I haven't through this whole process, that the San Antonio Commanders will lead the league in attendance at the end of the season.
Love that. And, Darryl, we want to give you the opportunity. Of course, we're up in Austin. I mean, less than an hour away from you guys down in San Antonio. For people who are new to this league, and just about everybody is, what other activities, you know, pregame, going on during the game day atmosphere, what other things do you have going on so we can try to encourage some folks to get down there on Sunday?
We're still trying to build a lot of that. You know, the number one thing was making sure that we had a good product on the field. So now that we've got week one under our belt, and everybody feels good about that, I think that you'll start to see the individual franchises now start to try and create their own in-game experience, pregame experience. So those are things that we're going to have to start, you know, focusing on and working on. You know, last week we had some bumps in the road, to be honest with you. We had some long lines getting into the stadium due to the weather and some reduced entrances. We've got to be better there. We had long waits at concession stands. I think we actually ran out of some things at concession stands. We've got to be better there. But it's good to be surprised by the attendance as opposed to holding the doors open and nobody showing up. So we're going to kind of work our way through what is the most important things that we need to be good at moving forward. And as we get to that point, we're going to try and create some pregame experiences and different things like that here at the Alamo Dome. The good thing is we've got a home game here this weekend against Orlando. Then we're going to be on the road for a month. So that's going to give us about a month to really kind of sit down and figure things out and what would be best for the fans that are going to make that trip down here to San Antonio to watch us play, to spend money on a ticket. What can we do pregame to make that experience even better for them? So, you know, we've got one more home game this weekend, and then we'll be on the road for a month. And hopefully when we get back from that long road trip, we'll have some good stuff in place and we'll have another big crowd ready to watch the Commanders.
And again, you can go to AAF.com if you're interested in purchasing tickets. If not, if you want to watch it on television, it is Sunday at 3 o'clock. That's the kickoff time on CBS Sports Network. Now, Darryl, in looking at the AAF schedule, I noticed that the championship game for this league is Saturday, April 27th, which is also the final day for the NFL draft. While league co-founder Charlie Ebersol, who you've mentioned a couple times in this conversation, has come out as being opposed to signing guys who aren't yet eligible for the NFL draft, would you be on board with the AAF maybe signing guys who have just completed their college eligibility and are maybe seen as fringe draft picks as a way to help them to improve their draft stock against pro competition?
The big thing is right now, and we've seen this, is other guys become available to add to our roster. We're being very selective here in San Antonio. Our guys have done a tremendous job of creating a chemistry and a culture that helps winning. And I don't want to do anything to disrupt that. Mm-hmm. So we'd be very cautious at that time. And when you're talking about April 27th as being the end of the draft and everything like that, you know, there's some things set in place. We want to build relationships as we move forward. We want to have a good working relationship with the NFL. We want to have a good working relationship with all the colleges that are involved in the NCAA. So, you know, a lot of the things that we do will be done in conjunction with them. And one of the things that we have talked about is making sure we don't do anything that would upset or disappoint the NCAA in regards to having conversations with their players before they're really eligible to be a part of what we're doing here with the Alliance. So the restrictions that are put in place, you know, we've been told to strictly adhere to them. Tampering is one of the big things that Bill Polian always talks about And whether that's something with a collegiate player who's probably not eligible having those conversations, a professional player that actually has rights allocated to another team. You know, one of the things that we want to do is be an honorable league. And that's something that Bill Polian has stressed from day one. So the decisions that they put in place will make sure that things are fair and equitable, not only for us and the franchises involved, but for the players themselves. You know, they're one of the three stars. You know, it's the game, the fans, and the players. So one of the things that is a big focus here with the Alliance is the players. So we don't want to do anything that's not in their best interest.
Totally understandable, Daryl. And last thing before we let you go, congrats on your daughter, Evan, committing to play at your alma mater. How proud are you that she's following in dad's footsteps as a student athlete at Syracuse?
Oh, that's outstanding on your homework. I appreciate that. you know, I couldn't be more proud. It was weird because when she was going up for the trip last weekend, you know, she was upset. It was my birthday on Sunday, and it was our opener on Saturday. And she's like, "Dad, I'm not going to be there." I said, "Evan," I said, "this is, you know, her and my wife both, you know, we're so sad that we can't be there for you." And I said, "Listen, you know, you guys are on a very important trip as well." So I actually got the confirmation on Saturday morning, and I was surprised at how proud I was of her. You know, it was a different feeling than I anticipated. So I'm really happy for her. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of dedication. You know, the game of lacrosse has really grown here in the state of Texas. And I couldn't be happier for her. She's excited to get back up into the Northeast. She always has enjoyed her time when we go up that way. We kind of had a feeling that was an area of the country that she'd be leaning in when we talked about colleges. So, very, very proud of her, not only for what she's accomplished, but yeah, we've got a legacy. We've got a second generation Orangeman going up to Syracuse.
Fantastic. He is Daryl Johnson, lifetime Dallas Cowboy, Super Bowl champ and GM of the San Antonio Commanders. They're back at home this weekend versus the Orlando Apollos. Get tickets, AAF.com. Kickoff is at 3:00. If you can't make it to the game, definitely check it out at CBS Sports Network as well. Daryl, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck with this, and maybe we can catch up with you later in the season as you guys get to that home game number 3.
Thank you, Moose.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.